Thank you for your presence, God. Father, we thank you, God, that when, Lord, when we open our mouths, God, when we lift up our hands, God, the presence of God is drawn to hungry people, Father. Father, we thank you that you're here this morning. We thank you, God, that you're here, Father, to bless us, to change the circumstances in our lives, God. Father, just to wrap your arms around us. And Father, remind us that we are loved, God. We are so loved by you. Hallelujah. I was thinking about the tithe this morning, and I was thinking about how much God has poured out on us, how much God has really just blessed us. You know, the only thing God really requires is a tenth. And really, it's not that much. It says that Ephesians talks about it's only our reasonable service. You know, sometimes I think we get lost in this life that's so busy, and it really does cost a lot of money, but it's only reasonable because He wants to bless us. He wants to open the heavens and give us more than we can contain. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to ask you this morning, who wants the Lord to give them so much that they can't contain it this year? I mean, I really believe that's a question of the Lord. Who wants that the Lord would open the windows of heaven this year in finances and resources and even in opportunities for the kingdom's sake? Because I'm telling you, there's something in this room right now. I mean, whatever you expect, you get with God. When His presence is in the room, when you expect it, God is so willing to give it. I'm telling you this morning, something is happening. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, God, Father, as we sow our seed, God, Father, as we return it back to you, God, I ask that you, your word, Father, you would perform your word, God, that the windows of heaven would be opened. God, that we would not be able to contain it. Father, that this would be the year of miraculous testimonies of the love of God. Father, restoring and renewing, and the year of recompense and reward. Telling you, there's things that have been locked up for you. There's things in heaven that have been locked up, but the Lord keeps saying it's tied, man. As you open your heart, as you give of what He's given you, those things will be loosed. Come on, God wants to do a miraculous thing in your life this year. And I'm not just saying it to say it. I know that God wants to perform it for you. God wants to do it for you. And right now, if you have a tithe or an offering, you can bring it forward and put it in the basket. But we're going to quick pray. Father, I just thank you, God. I thank you, God, that, Lord, there's this provision, Father, in your word. Lord, that, Lord, as we give to you, you open, Father. Once again, you open. You opened your heart. You open. You sent your Son that we may have salvation. But, Lord, once again, you open up, Father, the resources of heaven for heaven's sake. I'm telling you, it's for heaven's sake. God wants to bless you because it is of the design of God. Come on, it's the design of God as you are as a son and a daughter of a king this morning. And that is was the design of God, that he would lavish so much on you, people are going to start to come to you and say, what is going on in your life? And I'm not just saying it, I'm telling you prophetic. God's going to, because they're going to say, well, it's God. It's because I don't just obey God, but I love God. And I love Him so much, it is only reasonable that I give. It is only reasonable that I sow. It's only reasonable that I serve. Because He's my best friend. Come on, something is in this moment right now. Wow. I can just feel things releasing. Things that have been held up. Wow. Jesus, we ask, Father, that You release, Father, the miracle signs and wonders of heaven. Father, for such a time as this. And I feel like there's lost that are tied to these resources that are coming. It's going to help you to put yourself in a position to reach the lost and the broken. Father, I release that this morning, God. Father, as Your people, God, Father, our hearts would burn for the lost and the broken. And Father, those resources that You continue to pour out, Father. Lord, that we would, Father, just with the strategy of God, release them. Father, we call in the souls right now. Father, into this building. Father, into our lives. The hearts of that are prepared, Father, for Your kingdom. For the revelation that He is the Son of the living God. Father, that this would be the year, Lord. Father, that, Lord, You would pour out Your Spirit, Father. Lord, that You would use us. I'm telling you, I just feel like this is the year. I don't know what you've been praying for, but I just keep feeling this is the year of souls. I don't know what that means for you. But God, we release that right now, Father, those prepared hearts, God. Father, I pray that You would not only just release the relationship, but Lord, You would pour out the resources that we would not be able to reach one or five or ten. But Lord, I just felt like the Lord said, this is the year of the thousands. Father, open the doors, open the windows of heaven, God. Father, for Your kingdom's sake, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Of souls for the lost, and that God is going to put us in those places to bring hope to a dying world, hope to those that need hope and feel so hopeless and so lost, because we have the answer and we need to get ready. I need to get ready because this is the year, and I saw it.
Even when I don't see, You're still working. Even when I can't see it, You're still working. You never stop. You never stop working, Lord. God, I may not see it, But we need to know he's not done working. Come on, behind the scenes, your Father God in heaven is working. He never stops working. On the outside, we can't see, but no, the Holy Spirit God is working right now. Come on. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I can't always feel it, you're working. Even when it seems really dark, you're working. When I don't see what I want to see, you're still working. When I don't feel what I want to feel, you're still working. Because he doesn't know how to stop working. He won't stop. He won't stop. He just doesn't stop. He gives it all because he's not going to stop. He says, if that cost me my son, I'm going to do it because I can't stop. I'm not going to stop. And if I have to work and shake this whole earth to save 3 girls in a tent, I'll do it because I don't stop. If they have to shake your whole world and turn it upside down so that you get a glimpse of the cross and the love of Christ, I'll do it because I don't stop. I'll do whatever it takes to reveal it to you, to whoever's around you, because I don't stop. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mighty God, you're mighty to save, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. I don't want you to go. Just stay. All morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father God in heaven. Jesus, we thank you so much here for your presence. It's so sweet. It's so sweet. Ministry. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want to thank everyone. You know, that tent out there, I was telling people, if that tent could talk, it would say a lot of things. Yep. And there's an atmosphere in that tent. And I remember the one girl, she said, I just really like this place. She was just unchurched and from Goodrich and just so bubbly, and she says, wow, this is just a really neat place. And she said, I'm really sorry, I don't know anything about the Bible or Jesus. I don't know much. I think I'm part Jewish. It was just like, but I tell you, you know, God is amazing and he's awesome. I wanted to, as Jake was preaching last week, I was brought to a remembrance of a prophetic word given to us back in 2010. And Jeremy's done a great job on the website, and he has posted all the prophetic words, and they start from 2008, 2007, and all prophetic words that have been spoken over this church. I think it's really, really important as leaders of homes and leaders of churches that we are always constantly going back to what God has promised and spoken over our lives. That we really know what belongs to us and what really God wants to do. So that we're not, you know, he likes to tell us what's coming, and he likes to prophesy. And he likes us to believe in his prophetic word, and we may not always understand how it's going to come about, but he wants us to stay focused and trust him, and trust him completely. So here's some of the word. It's in Lindell Ballinger 2010. It's actually on the first page when you go on your website and look underneath the prophetic words. So I'm just going to read some of it to you. It says, some of the young men and women God has been equipping you for this day. Young fathers and mothers, sons and daughters to young fathers and mothers. And just like you have given birth to sons and daughters in the natural, you're about to give birth to sons and daughters in the spirit at an unprecedented rate. There is a momentum that has begun in this meeting. And God said he is preparing a people so they will not lose momentum. We have to be able to contain the momentum so that it's not just a sudden puff of wind. The wineskin changes to contain the new wine. The building is changing to contain the new presence, the new atmosphere, and the new assignment. This is the most serious meeting that I've ever been in this church because it's about destiny. It's about the call of God on this church. It's about the assignment. Hold fast your confidence. The enemy has tried to shake some of your confidence, but he couldn't do it because your affections weren't set on the things of this world. They were set on him. As I was looking around, I saw these young children. There are so many gifts in the children in this church. It's amazing. He said, one of the gifts of the apostles, I see gifts and callings. Lord, you are assembling this weekend about identifying the building material because it's about to be fitted together like never before. It's not going to take a long time either. It's expansion. I believe, as Jake was talking about last week about being the God man, I think God's trying to expand us all into our true identity. And he's challenging us in life. But it's about containing the move of God. It's about preparing a people so that they will not lose a momentum, to be able to contain the momentum. So he brought, obviously, that scripture about the wineskins, the new wine and the wineskins. And that's in Matthew chapter 9. That was in verse 14. And I'll just read that as Jesus was speaking. He said, one day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? And Jesus, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them and they will fast. Besides, who would put a patch on old cloth on new clothing? For the new patch will shrink and rip away from the cloth, leaving it even bigger a tear than before. And nobody puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure and spill the wine and the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins, so that both are preserved. And as I was being revealed this, I said, man, Jesus, there is a time and a season for all of us that God wants to do a new thing. And he's like, our vessels are the containers. He says, you know, Jesus came and he said that we might have life and have life more abundantly, but says, all things are passed away, above all things are new. So when we go through life, God is continually showing us who we really are to him. It's like, I don't know if I can do any of all this because of my perception of who I am. But that's not you. So you have to grab the whole vision of who you are in Christ. I am a new creation. And if that part of your life, you don't think you're a new creation, then you're not going to be able to contain that which God wants to give you. And I know that every single one of us in this room, God is wanting us to give us a new perception about ourselves, a new encounter of his spirit, that we may walk and contain what he wants to pour out on earth. It's just the absolute truth that I know, that I know, that I know. When Jen and I were in the tent, it wasn't about words from a book. Wasn't just about words from a book. Let me share with you another scripture. It's just absolutely, I was looking at a different light, and this is in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1, he says, we proclaim to you the one who's existed from the beginning. Just listen to their revelation through this and their experience. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one, who is life itself, was revealed to us. And we have seen him. And now what do? We testify and we proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was it with the Father. And then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the place where they have experienced and they know the miracle of the cross. And because they experienced and they knew that they knew that they knew, what did they do? They proclaimed it. They proclaimed it because it was true to them. It was the Word became flesh and it dwelt with them. It was a manifestation of the Word of God actually happening in their life. And what God wants to do is He wants you to bring you to a manifestation of His Word. Not just words from a book, but when I'm at night, and I share this a lot, but I know when I was a teen, struggling at night with just thoughts and things and just worry and fear, it's that God has not given me, it's those words actually becoming life to me, that it actually begins to change me. Because otherwise, what it's about? It doesn't mean anything to me. And you know what? And I go to the tent, I minister, it doesn't mean to me anything to me either. Bible says this, you should say this prayer and that's it. Doesn't really mean anything to you. It's not your vessel. That's not the skin you're walking in. He says, I want you to experience. When they began this, we are proclaiming something that we have seen, something that we have heard, something that we've experienced, something that we have walked in. I know that this is true because I've lived it. I know what it's like to be afraid and not sure of something in life, but I've lived it. And I'm sharing this to you so that your joy may be full, that my joy may be full. When I looked into the eyes, and Jenny was ministering, and this other gentleman was ministering from other stuff, and I looked into the eyes of these kids, and they didn't know nothing about church. And you look into their eyes, and you just saw, it was like they were absorbing everything. They're like, what are you talking about? Why are you talking to me right now? Why are you really talking to me? And I began to share my story, that I didn't understand everything about everything and how I grew up. And even in being in a church place, I struggled with fear and doubt. But there's something that Christ does in the inside of me. There is something that He moves inside of us and He begins to touch us. And we just begin to open up with not just a bunch of Bible verses, but I begin to testify of what I've seen and what I've felt and what I've heard. And I know what it's like to be a teenager and not know what's going to happen or wonder what I'm going to do with my life or where I'm going to go. I said, I understand that. And I know of God, but I didn't know how He moved this. But He's after you. It's not about the prayer you pray. It's not about what church you go to. It's about Jesus. And here I'm right now in front of you. I want to tell you a story about Jesus. And I begin to testify about the story of Jesus. Do you know why Jesus did what He did? No, I have no idea. Do you know what Jesus did on the cross? I don't. I know He went to the cross, but why did He go to the cross? And I was, well, He died for my sin. But you know what He did was really awesome. Is that there was times where Adam and Eve, when they fell short, they said they knew the knowledge of good and evil. And right away when they ate the tree, the first thing they saw themselves was evil. And because they saw themselves as evil, they ran and they hid from God. And God was there and we were here, and that's just the way it is because we're evil, because we think evil. And that perception changed their ability for God to really love them. And it was like God didn't want that at all. He made you so that He could walk with you every day. And it broke His heart. It broke His heart because your perception of Him changed because of what you did. He never changed for 2 seconds. He didn't stop loving you even though you messed up. He didn't even stop loving you when you know you took His name in vain or when you did something really wrong. And that's how I grew up. I felt like, man, I did something wrong. God's mad at me. There's a separation. There's a gap. Now I need to make things right. I got to get my life straight. I got to stop swearing. I got to start coming to church. I got to start memorizing about all those stuff. It's fine, but it wasn't revelation in my heart and the fear and the thing. It wasn't what I've seen. It wasn't what I was heard. It didn't land. So when I just tell Him some of the prayers I prayed, it's like when I felt all that pressure and weight, I said, God, I need You. God, I need You. And God begins to move on your heart because I'm praying for God, for me. Because even though I have all these ideas about myself and what I've done and that I'm no good or whatever, didn't matter to God because Jesus took it to the cross. That's what it means. There's no more condemnation. That's what it means. I don't have to go slaughter 1 million cows or I don't have to get my life all straightened out before God could begin to minister to me. Because you know what I need? I need to be ministered by God. I need the Holy Spirit in my life right now. And as we begin to just pray that and begin to just to tell him, listen, he's not holding all that stuff against you. He misses you. He wants to spend time with you. And when things get all crazy and in life and all that stuff, it's not that he left you. It's not that he turned his back on you. But he's wanting to be a part of your life. And he's wanting to show himself that he can do something with you and wants to walk life with you. And because Jesus took it to the cross, he can do that now. I said, would you like that? And they said, yes. That's a really good story. That's a really good message. That's what I call the good news. That's pretty good news, Isaac. To think about all the stuff that I've done wrong. That for not one day God didn't say up there, you know what, that was so messed up, I'm done with you. I'm so thankful that God didn't quit on me. That he did something. He said, you know what, I'm sick of your disobedience. I'm sick of it. You're using my name. You're taking everything I've given you, and you're throwing it away, and I'm done with you. He never did that. He didn't, because Jesus took the price. He didn't stop. No matter what you think of yourself, no matter all the negativity, I'm not worth it, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't do anything right, da-da, it's not going to stop him. And that breaks me. I'm just like, really? He says, yeah. I'm not going anywhere. What are you doing? And I'm like, God, you still love me now? Do you still like me now? But what about this? But what about this? He's like, huh? Do you think Jesus was enough? Yeah. Did he pay it all? Yeah. So let's go. Let me show you something. Come on, let me show you something. Let me show you something, Jeff. So they begin to testify that in 1 John 1, they begin to testify of what Jesus said. I got to show you something. I got to tell you a story. Can I tell a story about what you did? Okay, I'm going to. So the girls took my four-wheeler. Oh, yeah. You think that's funny? I don't. So my girls took my four-wheeler, right? I like my four-wheeler. I like my things nice. I like to keep my things nice. I like to keep my things in order, but I like to share. So I was sharing. I said, Hope, she wanted me to go to the park with Jewel and drive my four-wheeler. I said, sure, go ahead. So I'm at work. I'm up in Roar Road, and Jenny calls me. She goes, hey, the girls lost the key to your four-wheeler, and they can't start it, and they're over at the park. Ah. So I'm out there sacrificing my life, you know, laying it down for Jesus. And these girls are playing around, messing with my stuff, losing my keys. And there's just a bunch of drama that goes in with that. I say, well, you're not leaving it at the park. I say, you're getting it back. Oh, there's a lot more than girls going on there, too. Yeah, there's boys involved. We're a family. Stuff happens. Yeah, it always is. So they're over there, and I'm just like, I'm there. It's hot, you know. Thunderstorm came in. It was going to pour. Got wet. And I'm an hour and a half away. I said, well, you're not leaving it there. Okay, you got to get it back. And I was thinking, stop wrecking my stuff.
Amen.
You know? It's not fair that I let someone use my stuff and they mess it up, right? So I had to come, life's not fair. It's okay, girls. I still love you. I do want to get a key for that so I could drive it someday again, but you know, you can't drive without a key. You can't bust it. I don't want to bust it because I like my things nice. I want a new key that will fit my four-wheeler so I can drive it. I'm not mad. Yeah. You know that, Jewel, that is a good tool. Can I share that story too? Really? Okay, that's fine. Okay, fine. So Jewel's a counselor at camp. You did a great job. All the counselors did fantastic. Boys, you did too. Yes, yeah, especially you, Roman. I heard you whisper that under your voice. Very humbling. So Jewel, I said, okay, Jewel, after lunch, I want you guys to meet me up at the trailer, and we're going to carry all the stuff down. So I went up there and nobody was there. So I grabbed all the stuff and I was carrying it down the hill by myself. I come around the corner and Jewel's sitting down there. She's sitting down and she's, were you painting your nails? Okay, so she's sitting down talking. I come around the corner and I say, Jewel, and she goes, Oh, I was. You're gonna do that. I start laughing. I go, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. That was funny. In that tent, there's a lot of drama that goes on when you try to team up with five churches. There is. And sometimes we get caught up in drama. I could get caught up in all that. But there was an underlining carry tone that was able to carry through that whole time. And I hope I carried it too. You know, I still love you, right? You try to carry that through. And in the tent, even with all the behind-the-scenes drama that you will never know about because you don't need to, there is an atmosphere of love for those kids. And because there was an atmosphere for love, even though they had messed up and lost keys and had taken things, you know, in life, taken advantage of things and misused things, mistreated myself, mistreated my neighbor, punched my neighbor, hurt my neighbor, everything that God's entrusted to me, I was not representing well. Even though I've lived like that, it didn't change how God felt about me. And the love of God was still there. And they said, what is this? Because this isn't from the world. This is from God. And they were testifying of things that I've known, that I've heard, that I've seen. We're making it clear to you. We're going to testify of the things that I've known, that I've heard, that I've seen. And we are going to proclaim them. We are going to testify of what God, that their joy might be full. And this one girl's joy, it's just about this, about everything in that happens. But she just is so bubbly. She's just like, what is all this? Had so many questions. But the underlying thing is that regardless of what you've done, there's a God in heaven who loves you so much that he's not going to let one issue of keys that you have lost, things that have you been abused, used, all that stuff, he's not going to hold it against you for 2 seconds. As soon as you turn to him and say, God, Jesus, as we just prayed, even as we were conversation, I saw the Holy Spirit working and ministering on their heart and stuff was becoming joy. There's something here that I didn't know. There's something here that I haven't seen. There's something here that is drawing me out right now. It is something beyond my behavior. It's beyond what I've happened in my life, been abused, been mistreated, all those things, my parents, something is beyond that that's calling me forth. That is my home, my destiny, my future. And is it true? And I say, yes, it's true. I testify because it's true. And when you begin to testify, there's such joy and excitement in that place. Because it's true. I'm not making this stuff up. You think I'm making this stuff up? You go through so much drama and you go through so much things in life. And God's standing by. He says, you know what? My son on the cross, I want you to experience those things in life. And we want to run from them. And we think something's wrong. You think the drama, you stop being focused on the drama. You are. And in the midst of your drama, God is wanting to give you a revelation, a new wineskin about your true identity. Because it's not the drama that defines you. It's not the drama that defines the other people around you. Hope and Jewel are not losers because they lost my key. They're not. And I have feelings about that. But they're not good feelings all the time. And it's not true, right? Because you know what I think about? Honestly, I think about what I did when I was a kid. Oh, man. You thought that was bad. No. I've made a few mistakes on my journey. And if someone would have took that mistake and grabbed a hold of that and hung it on me, right, and said, because of this, you're this and that, at certain ages, it's a critical place where it really would have affected my future. Really would have. But they didn't do that. The biggest one of all that happened in my life was that Jesus Christ, even after all the stuff that I've done, even everything that I've done wrong in my life, and I'm sure we all could say something, but he didn't hold it against me. Not one thing, Jewel. And I can't take it back. I can't go back and change what I did, the pain that I caused, the taking advantage of things that I've been given in my own life, mistreating my neighbors, my brothers, not being an example of Christ on this earth, but allowing other things that hurt people. You don't want to hurt people. You don't want to put them through stuff. You don't want to call them loser and stupid and hurt them. But you know what? There's times when you're young, you just do stupid things. And Jesus didn't say, because you did that to them, I'm going to do it to you. He didn't say, you know what? Because you've turned your back on me all these years, I'm turning my back on you. He never said that. That's what the cross, that's why it's good news. It's so good. Even if you've been doing it for 20 years, up to this day, the cross was enough. The cross is enough to bring you out of that. Because he says that's been taken care of. The punishment, because the punishment has been taken care of, we can have a revelation of the love of God, who he really, really is. And honestly, that's repentance. Or repentance isn't just like, I'm saying I'm sorry. It's actually getting a new thought and understanding about who God really is. That's what it is. It's taking one thought and getting a new thought. You know, these girls that came, they were getting a new thought about really who God was. Like, can I actually pray? She said this, she was so cute. She was like, I don't think my life, I don't really have that many problems. I shouldn't pray. You know, I'm not like I'm dying or something. That's when you need to pray. But you know what? People don't know, because that's a thought. That's a thought we have towards God sometimes. It's too big. I said, no. I pray every day. Because like, this world's moving. Then I need you, God, every day. I need you. I need you right now, every day. So as it goes on in 1 John 2, it says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if everyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads for our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atoned for our sins. And not only for the sins of this world, but for everything. Hallelujah, Jesus. Verse 3, and it says, and we can be sure that we know him. Say, know him. How do I know that I know him? See, the product of God landing in our hearts and getting revelation is, it's kind of backwards. We think we follow the commandments so that we get close to God. It's actually the opposite. God wants us to draw us close to him so that we can fulfill that which he's already called us to do. It's backwards. It's like, I got to follow all the commandments. No. First you fall in love with God and let him love you. And then everything else just falls through. I don't do what I do because I'm afraid of breaking the commandments. I do what I do because I found a Savior that loves me, because he loves me, because he loves me, because he loves me. And that I trust. That's when I can step out in faith and do the commandments that I believe in and I trust, because Jesus made a way that I can establish and live in grace. I don't have to be afraid. So it goes on, it says, if someone claims I know God but doesn't obey God's commandment, that person is a liar, not living in the truth. There's an areas and places that you need a revelation about who God is. Who is God for me now? This is Graham Cook's great question. Who is God going to be for me now that what is going on in my life? That God is calling me from one place to another. How is God going to be for me now in this place right now, going from here to here? Because the truth is, my God is the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. There is an experience. There is an encounter with God's love, a place he wants to bring us from here to here. And as we step out in obedience, it's like a container change. Like, I am expanding. I am expanding not just like my physical body, but in my heart. I am opening up my heart further to the love and the power of God. I'm able to step in from one place and go into another. And I don't think he stops doing that ever. He doesn't. And a big part of our upgrade and moving on is that God is wanting to take you from here to here. And you're still here. You've been here for a very, very long time. And that's not to shame you or blame you, but I promise you this. God wants to have an encounter and an upgrade and a relationship in life where you say, I never knew God in this part, this part, this part, and I'm discovering who God can be for me now, because you need to know that you know that you know that even though I don't feel the good or I don't feel it, God has something more in you that he's wanting to partner with you in his spirit to empower you to walk by grace to go to that next place. It's not you doing it. It's not by yourself. It's not you figuring it all out. It is a partnership with the Holy Spirit that we walk in, that we get poured into every day going to the next place. And I am convinced without a shadow of a doubt that's every single one of us in this room. Because this house is a house of, it's an apostolic resource center. We are training people to go from one place to another place. You cannot sit, I'm afraid, in this church and not be drawn in to go to the next place. And God uses our lives, situations in our lives, to demonstrate that. It's like, oh man, a lot of things are going on. No, it's an opportunity. Remember, Danny? He said, there are no problems, only opportunities. Right? Promises and opportunities in our life. So, if I'm mistreating somebody in a way, it's not them, it's me. Say, it's not them, it's me. So he's just saying, this is a place where you can understand that this is you. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. That is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Remember that saying, what would Jesus do? Something goes wrong. Oh, great, I knew that was going to happen. That's terrible. That's why I don't want to do anything. Well, there's an area in there, do you think, that you need to get your revelation? Right? It's not condemning. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying there's an upgrade there. Every time I do that, this happens and this happens and this happens and this happens. Okay? There's a big arrow saying upgrade right there. Upgrade right there. And I've learned that when something goes on and something happens on the outside, you know, somebody says something or something didn't go quite right, immediately I think, okay, God, if something's hitting me in here, where's my upgrade? Where is something that you want it to become? I have seen. I've seen from the beginning. I've felt God in this area. You know what? I heard that happen. It tried to knock me off my game, and it wasn't able to knock me off my game. I tried to do some mind games, and he tried to mess me up when I was playing basketball, and he was trying to do that. How much time do you plan practicing basketball? 2 days? No, this man practices like basketball all the time, and I still beat him. Don't shake your head at me, son. No, he took me pretty good. But I got some help, so then we beat him. Right, Jack?
No.
I did two. Me, Jeff, and Glenn beat you and those two kids that didn't know how to play. So there. Deal with it. You got something you need to deal with? There's an upgrade. Praise you, Jesus. No. It's our place. It's our place where God is bringing us to say, I am preparing, you want to get back to the word? I am preparing a people to carry the momentum. He's preparing you. He's not condemning you. He's preparing you. He's saying, you know what? All that stuff, everything that thing is hitting on, I want you to, when the stuff hits the fire and there's words for that, I want you to shine me. I want you to shine me. When everything gets crazy in life, I want you to be able to say, you know what, I faced that, I saw that, and here's what God did for my life. And then I want you to proclaim it. I want you to begin to share it. I want you to begin to testify it, because that's what brings the fullness of God's joy in everything in the situation. You begin to let your life be a living sacrifice. You know why? It's not because you're the first one to do it. It's because Jesus did it first. Okay, you just received the keys to the four-wheeler, and you may have dropped them. But you know what? He can make new keys. He's not done with you yet. I wish someone could make me a new key. Huh? Yeah, now she's blaming because I lost the spare. There was a spare key. But you know, I bought that in 2005, and we've moved like 3 times, and I don't know where in the world that key is. But I'm so thankful that he makes all things new. Okay, you messed it up, sure, but he can make all things new. Even if you took it and you wrecked it completely, he could still make all things new. You didn't wreck it. You just lost the key. Are you guys okay? Sorry, okay. But it's good to take life lessons, and because that's where we all are. We're in life right now. When we get in heaven, it's probably not going to happen, but right now it's happening to us. So I want to share this video with you before I close. This was, you guys remember the Columbine shootings? The Columbine shooting, there's this gal, I forget her name because I can't remember. But, huh? I don't know. Is it Rachel? She just became born again very recently. And she was very excited about the Lord, and here's a few words about her life as she shared it. And I'm really moved by this song because it's a Michael W. Smith song. It says, "This is your time. This is your chance." You know, even though you might feel like you've blown it, because I have, and even though you might be going through something, you say, you know what, there's nothing there. If you're still here right now on earth, you still got a chance to fulfill that which God has for you. He hasn't turned his back on you. And this gal captured it, and she did some amazing thing. She did an amazing thing. Do you guys know the story about the Columbine? Do they know the story of the Columbine shooting? You guys don't know, probably. The gal stood up. These boys brought guns into the school. And they would go into the classroom, and they literally asked the question, who here is a Christian? Is that kind of the question they would ask? Is anybody here a Christian or believe in Jesus? And she stood up. And when she stood up, they came up to her, and they took her out with the gun. And that was it. And this song was written about that. You say, wow, that's pretty powerful. And you may be some fear, but man, listen to her. She shares her testimony. And this is the girl. And Michael W. Smith wrote this song for her. Let me watch that, Jeremy. I'm sure she was pretty scared when they said that. It says, who here is a Christian? But she stood up. Some of us, I believe, are in a place where we kind of feel a little bit hesitant because we're being called out. He says, are you a Christian? And you kind of go, man, I don't know. And I'm not saying it almost feels like a gun's pointed to your head. But as he was singing that song, it's like, this is your time. It's like when I look back in my life, because life is going pretty fast. I'm going to be 40 here pretty soon, August 12th, you guys. August 12th. But I don't know about you, but I know about me. Is that I want my life to say when it was my time, I stood up. And I didn't let the distractions or the worries and the fears of things going around me prevent me from standing up. Because it's just not about me anymore. I'm saved. I know where I'm going. And God, you want to use me and this is my time, then so be it. Because I know it's not over with that. I think we have to find that now. Because I think a lot of us, or if all of us, are being asked to stand up. And it's our time. And I'm not going to leave. I don't want to leave anything to chance. I don't want to leave it. I would love to leave it all on the field, as they say. Say, you know what? I gave everything I had. I didn't let fear or worry let me down. God, you called me to stand and I stood. And if that's all you want, you know, for her, it was 18 years old or something like that, and that was it. And we look in the world, we say, that's terrible. But I promise you, that girl right now, don't feel sorry for her. Jesus. And it's our time. Many of us, it's our time. It's our time to rise up. It's our time to stand. And he's asking us, are you a Christian? You know me. I want you to know me here. I want you to move here and there. Because time will go by, and you will be gone, just like I will be off from this earth someday. And I want to look back on moments like even this weekend where things were crazy and there could have been distractions. But you were able to stand in the midst of chaos, and you were able to shine God's love into someone's life. And maybe more importantly right now, maybe it's yourself. Maybe you don't even like yourself right now. But the truth of the matter is, it's not true that you're worthless, because he would have done it all for you, and it's hard for us to grab. It's not about your performance to him. Right now, there is a move of the love of God that is wanting us to walk in his fullness of his love and his place, where we know that I don't have to second guess who I am anymore. And he's working on that, jumping from one place to another, that he might pour out something in us and establish a move and a momentum. And it's our time. And those that have gone before us that are up in heaven, I promise you, they're cheering us on. They're saying, stand up. They say, stand up. If you only knew what was beyond your obedience right now in standing up and going. It's not going to, it's all provided for. The first time I went on a mission trip, the first time I stood up and spoke, the first time I began to witness to somebody, my heart was pounding, things were going, changing. But you know what? I wasn't going to do it for them, and I wasn't going to do it for an outcome. I was going to do it because somebody loved me so much, and I felt it. When I was all alone in times I struggled, I felt it, I knew it, I testified what I've heard and what I've seen. I felt him, I know he's real, I know he's alive. And God, as long as you're with me, I don't care anymore. I'm going to do it, Lord God, because you're with me. And if this is what you want from me, then great, I'm going to do it. These are the people I need to rise up and stand in this day. Because I need you to demonstrate my glory. And more importantly, you need it. Because you're in one spot. And that spot, you don't belong in anymore. For a day, it was where you belonged, but the day has moved on. We're going to another place. We're having another encounter. Our hearts, again, are on the line, and we're trusting God with our hearts. It's okay. We did it before, and we're going to do it again. And we're going to stand up and let God use us the way he wants to use us, in obedience, in his glory. So, Father God, I thank you. Let's just stand up. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that whatever time it is right now, Lord Jesus, it's our time here. And there's more for all of us. I understand that. But Waymaker, in our hearts, in our soul, I want to say it's well with my soul. God, let it be a peace in my heart. Lord God, that you heal the brokenhearted, and that, Lord God, we trust you with this next journey of this place. When I'm talking about community, I'm talking about our lives, I'm talking about all that we're involved in. Lord God, that we would have fellowship together in that, Lord Jesus. Because it's time to stand up for many of us. I believe it's all of us. It's time to stand. It's time to stand up. You already died that death. You can't die again. Lord Jesus, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the courage to rise. I thank you, Lord, for the courage to stand. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the cross that wipes every the sin far from the east and from the west. Lord Jesus, it's gone. It can't come at us anymore. It doesn't define us. Father, I thank you for your spirit right now as it's ministered to every single one of us, Lord God. That I saw that girl dancing. And many of us haven't maybe danced in a while in our hearts. But God, that every single one of us could dance and be free. No matter what goes on around us, to the left, to the right. Lord God, they can't take that away from us. Lord, I pray you instill it by your spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord. We need you. We need you. We need you. Walking with us. Standing with us, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for such goodness. Thank you, Jesus. It's a prayer, just come up, man. You want to soak it in, just do what you got to do. Just thank you, Lord. You're dismissed. Hallelujah. Just thank you so much, God, for a wonderful morning in you. Amen.